springboard. We were in Psalm 119 last week as we started this brand new series that I've entitled Teach Me. And the heart cry of the psalmist, you see it oft repeated through the book of Psalms, a number of times in the 119th Psalm, is this heart cry, teach me. And I believe that we find, as we even discussed last week, that this heart cry of the psalmist reveals his sincere desire to learn. And as we express our desire to learn, I believe that it's important that we understand some of the purposes of learning. And tonight, I just desire to really consider two purposes for learning. Admittedly, right at the beginning of this message tonight, obviously this is not intended to be an exhaustive list of all of the purposes for learning. So if you are taking notes and want a title, I've simply titled the message this evening, Two Purposes for Learning. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the master teacher, and we find that in the book of Matthew. In fact, if you read throughout the gospel accounts, you'll find many times in which the gospels make this record that Jesus taught them. And you can read of accounts in which the settings are provided for us, and Jesus is teaching. He's at times teaching the disciples, at times he's teaching multitudes, at times the religious leaders are there hearing the instruction, at times he's in the synagogue teaching. I mean, you just look through the Gospels and you will find a number of accounts in which Jesus is teaching. And we find that here in Matthew chapter number 7, it's interesting, at the end of the passage, really, as we look at Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, and we find that at the conclusion in verse number 29, notice what the Word of God says, "For he," speaking of Jesus, "taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." And that's a great verse of Scripture in understanding the way that Jesus, as the master teacher, he taught with authority. And you'll remember in John chapter number 3 and verse number 2, Jesus is there and Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night and he makes the statement, "We know that thou art a teacher sent from God." And it's interesting, as you would consider the teaching ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that his purpose for coming to the earth was not simply to teach. His purpose for coming to the earth was to be our Savior, to die on the cross of Calvary, which he fulfilled and finished. But while he was on earth, man, did he teach some wonderful truth. And we find that it's interesting, for the Bible says here in our verse, our springboard verse, "For he taught them as one having authority." But I want you to turn over a few chapters in the book of Matthew in the 11th chapter. And I want you to consider a phrase that really is an invitation here that is given. And there are several points within these verses of Scripture. You could preach an entire message. In fact, I have in the past from this portion of Scripture. It's a familiar passage. But I want to note a statement in verse number 29, beginning in verse 28 of Matthew 11, the Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you," notice this phrase, "and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." There in verse number 29, it says, "Learn of me," and "learn of me." It said there in Matthew 7 that he taught as one that had authority, and he then offers this invitation to come unto him, and part of what they would do is they would learn of him. In fact, there are records in which the Scriptures give us where the disciples learned valuable lessons. They learned from the teaching that Jesus gave them. And when we think about learning and we think about the importance of identifying some of the purposes of learning, I mentioned last week in our introductory message that the purpose of learning is not to just accumulate wealth. The idea is not a prideful motive, a look at what I know in comparison to what someone else knows. And as we consider this subject matter, I believe that as we have pure, God-honoring motives that would fuel that desire of ours to learn, then I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ will graciously teach us. It's interesting that during the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, many accounts are given where he's teaching, and he says that they should come and learn of him. And I mentioned this last week, but before we get into the points tonight, it's important for us to understand that the Holy Spirit of God is the divine teacher. And I'm thankful that one of the ministries, He's the comforter, and how thankful I am for that. He convicts us, and it's wonderful to be convicted, but He teaches us. And I'm thankful for that ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And we have the complete canon of God's Word, and He teaches us, and what a blessing that is. Two thoughts this evening. I mentioned by the title, two purposes for learning. Number one, the application of truth. The application of truth. Our purpose, one purpose of learning is doing. Really doesn't make a whole lot of sense to learn something if we're not going to do it, if we're not going to apply it. And we're not just trying to accumulate this information, as I mentioned a moment ago. And I believe that the simplicity of this truth or this thought, the application of truth being the first of these two purposes that we'll look at this evening, the simplicity of this truth must not be overlooked. As you think about the Christian life and you think about the importance of growing and learning, we find that we learn these principles from the Word of God with the purpose of applying these principles in our lives. That as I study the Word of God, as I read the Word of God, as I hear the Word of God taught and preached, that I'm anxiously desiring and seeking, excitedly desiring the Lord to show me how this truth applies in my life, how I can take and apply the principles that we're learning from the Word of God. The reality is that I cannot do what I have not learned. It's a pretty simple statement. I cannot do what I have not learned. Has anyone ever asked you to do something that you don't have the knowledge of doing? Someone's asked you to do something and you simply can't fulfill the task. Why? Because you don't know how to do it. But the reality is that I must, biblically speaking, we're speaking about the spiritual aspect of teach me, I must do that which I have learned. God holds us accountable for those truths that He reveals to us and the truth that He teaches us, and we are to be doers of the Word. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy, if you will, to the fourth chapter, and I'm just going to look at a few verses here in the book of Deuteronomy, and then we'll look at a couple of New Testament truths as well. But look in Deuteronomy chapter number 4 and verse number 5, and notice what Moses says to the children of Israel with regard to the teaching of the Word of God. In fact, he begins in verse number 1 of Deuteronomy 4, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you." Notice this next phrase, "for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you." Notice verse number 5, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me." The next phrase, "that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them." Notice this, "for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." It's interesting, as we know and go through this initial point, I'll make some comments at the end with regard to knowledge versus wisdom, but you see here in verse number 6 when he says, "keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations." As we think about these verses of Scripture and the importance of them and the fact that he's saying, "I have taught you, but the purpose of teaching you, the purpose of giving you is to do them, to apply them." Chapter 5 in verse number 1, the Bible says here, "And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day. So hear them for what purpose? That ye may learn them." Remember when the psalmist said, "Teach me," we say that reveals a sincere desire to learn. "And that we may learn them and keep and do them." In chapter 17, in verse number 19 of the book of Deuteronomy, it's so often repeated, I could look at a whole host of verses throughout the entirety of the book of Deuteronomy. It's repeated over and over. But look at this one as our final one this evening. In Deuteronomy 17, in verse number 19, the Bible says, "And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them." contextually here in this passage of Scripture, it's with regard to the kings and the importance of when God would place a king over his people, that they would take, it says in verse 18, "And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites." Now think about that, the king writing the law of the Lord. I've never written all of the Pentateuch in some kind of notebook paper, and you probably haven't either. I know that there are accounts of those where Bibles are not readily available, where they do write out word for word the Scriptures because they have one Bible amongst a group of believers, and the only way for them to have any portion of the Scriptures is if they write it out themselves. But I will say this, when you write out the Scripture, it helps us to remember it, doesn't it? And as we remember it, we're mindful of it, it goes a long distance in helping us to perform it or to do it. It doesn't immediately mean that we will do it just because we've written it, but the reality is that he tells them the purpose at the end of verse number 19, that they would have these words of the law and these statutes, but to do them. The purpose of the application of truth. We're familiar with James 1 and verse number 22. We use the verse of Scripture often, and rightly so, that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. How often in my life, perhaps if you'd evaluate your life, have we been guilty of not applying truth, not applying that which we've been taught? Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 9, we'll look at this verse a couple of times this evening. I want you to just look at a single word in this verse. I'll read the entirety of it. But in Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 9, Paul is writing to these believers and he's concluding this letter. And notice what he says in verse number 9 of Philippians 4, "Those things which ye have both learned," I'll give you a second, "those things which we that ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me," what's that next word? Do. Paul said, I've taught, I've instructed, I've given, I have fulfilled my responsibility in teaching, and I've lived out that which I'm teaching. He said that not only the things that you learned and received and heard, but he says the things that you've seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So we find this evening that one of the purposes for learning is the application of truth. I learn the principles of the Word of God so that I can apply them in my life, so that I can do them. We think about the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge would really be the idea of information learned. Having facts, if you will, the accumulation of truth, of facts, of principles. But wisdom is the application of that information that has been learned. So I have all of these truths, I have all of these principles, I have all of these precepts that I've learned, these facts, and that's knowledge, but the appropriate application of that information is wisdom. And we're to walk in wisdom. Someone said this, that knowledge is knowing what to say. Wisdom is knowing when to say it. Knowing what to say versus knowing when to say it. Let me illustrate it this way. Knowledge, and this isn't original with me, I heard it years ago, but it is quite comical. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting tomatoes in fruit salad or in a fruit smoothie. Right? You say, oh, that's kind of fun. It just helps us kind of see the difference between the knowledge and the wisdom. And we think about the application of truth, that's wisdom, that's walking in wisdom. Yes, we're to have knowledge, we're to get knowledge, we're to get understanding, and we understand the Word of God teaches that, but the purpose of getting the knowledge, the purpose of learning the precepts, the purpose of crying out to the Lord, teach me, the purpose of Jesus teaching during His earthly ministry, the purpose of Jesus inviting them to come learn of Him is so that we would apply the truth. Not just so that we could have head knowledge, not so that we could answer some questionnaires, not so that we could do well on some Bible trivia game, but so that we can apply the truth in our lives. The application of truth is the first of the two reasons or purposes for learning that we look at this evening. The second is the dissemination of truth. The reality is that I learn that I might teach others. I learn that I might teach others. We see this throughout the Word of God. We see this illustrated in the lives of many of God's servants. I'll use two examples this evening, one from the Old and one from the New Testament. Look in the book of 2 Chronicles, if you will, and look at Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat. And I want you to look in 2 Chronicles chapter 17. I want you to consider the dissemination of truth in his life and the revival that took place during his reign as king of Judah. And we find that he strengthened himself. We find that he sought the Lord, his God. He walked in the commandments and not after the doings of Israel. In fact, the Bible tells us, it's an interesting statement in verse number 6 of 2 Chronicles 17. It says, "And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord." Isn't that good? So often when you hear of someone's heart being lifted up, you go to the place in which they're being prideful, right? Their heart is lifted up. But here the Bible tells us of Jehoshaphat that his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Egypt. Notice it says in verse number 7, "Also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes." And it says, "to Ben-Hail, and to Obadiah, and to Zechariah, and to Nethaneel, and to Micaiah." Notice what he sent to them at the end of verse number 7, "to teach in the cities of Judah." Jehoshaphat had learned some things, and though he would not be capable of teaching in all of these cities himself, we find that he employed others and he gave this solution to the problem in which he was dealing with, and he sent these folks out for the purpose of teaching throughout the cities of Judah. It tells us in verse number 9, notice it says, "And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people." Isn't it interesting when you consider the approach of Jehoshaphat, the desire of Jehoshaphat? He had learned some things. He had applied some things in his life. He desired to apply truth in his life. And then he wanted to have truth given out. He wanted for others to be taught the same truth. And so he employs these princes to this task, and it tells us that they taught in Judah. The book that they were teaching is the book of the law of the Lord, the Word of God. And notice the impact in verse number 10, "And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat." In fact, if you continue reading, you'll find how the Philistines and others brought gifts to Jehoshaphat and to Judah because of that which had been taking place. The dissemination of truth. When we learn the truth of the Word of God and we apply, when we have that spirit of "teach me, Lord." Remember, the psalmist said, "I know that the Lord is great." He had learned this truth. And then he says this, "I must declare his greatness, because what I've learned, I desire for others to know." And how truthful when it comes to the content of this book. How important when we understand the Word of Life, the very Word of God that has been given to us, and how we have had the privilege of learning and being taught the Word of God, but it's not so that we could just be a sponge and soak it all up, not so that we could become a Dead Sea kind of a mentality that we just constantly receive but never give. And as I receive truth and as I apply truth in my life, I ought to desire this second purpose of learning is the dissemination of truth. I've learned these things so that I can apply them, but so also that I might teach them so that others would know. Think about the Apostle Paul with me, probably the greatest example aside from the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament of living out this truth in Acts chapter number 20. I want you to notice what he says to the Ephesian elders as he calls them together on his way to Jerusalem. He's speaking to these church leaders, and he's giving them instruction. And I want you to see what he says here with regard to his teaching ministry. Now, he testifies, in fact, he speaks of this, you don't need to turn there, but in the book of Galatians in the first chapter, he clearly teaches to these believers in the region of Galatia that what he had learned from the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 12 of Galatians 1, he says, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." And what he, Paul, had learned, he desired to teach others. We find in verse number 20 of Acts 20, the Bible says this, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." I want you to think about Paul saying this. We're familiar with the verse of Scripture in 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 16, where the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What's the next phrase? "And is profitable," right? That's what he says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 16. "For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." You see in verse 17 that the man of God might be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. And then in the chapter, in the next chapter, chapter 4, "Preach the word," so on and so forth. But notice what he says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." Well, the word of God is profitable to people. Amen? And Paul had been taught by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he desired to teach others to the point in which it caused him great physical harm. Right? Think about the lengths by which Paul went through in order to teach the Word of God. To these very people in Philippi that in Ephesus that he's writing to, these leaders of the church there that he's writing to in Ephesus, and you think about some of the understanding that they had with regard to his entry into their city, but also the preceding journeys and all of the testimony and how various accounts of difficulty that he suffered and dealt with. And he did all of that, why? Because he wanted to get the Word of God out. Because he knew that it was profitable. If it's helped me, man, I want it to help somebody else. If it's profitable for me, it's profitable for thee. Amen? And we find that Paul says, "I've kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." Notice in Philippians 4 and verse number 9, we looked at this verse a moment ago and focused on that word "do" because of the first point of the application of truth. But when we think about the dissemination of truth, we find in Philippians 4 and verse number 9, Paul says, "Those things," now writing to the church in Philippi, "which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me." Paul was faithful to teach the Word of God. And then a verse of Scripture that we have used over the years. In fact, before we painted the stairway downstairs, the words of this verse of Scripture were after the first landing as you walk downstairs. Our Sunday school ministries take place down there. And 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 2 is an important verse of Scripture. It teaches us the importance of this truth that we're dealing with this evening. And Paul, of course, is writing to his son in the faith, to Timothy. But the principle is so important here in 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 2. And Paul says this, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Isn't that a good verse of Scripture? Paul's been taught. Paul is teaching. And Paul says, now you need to take what you've learned of me and you need to teach that same truth to others who will then be able to teach others. Wow. Generational influence, generational impact. The pattern that's been given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ of the dissemination of truth that Paul had learned, but it wasn't so that Paul could just sit over idle by himself and say, look at all of these things that I've been taught. Look at all of this knowledge that I've accumulated. Look at all of these facts that I can share. No, rather, he was seeking to make sure that he could teach others and that those that he taught, that he invested in, would understand the importance of not only applying it in their lives, but then teaching it to others. As we think of these two purposes for learning this evening, I want you to consider them in light of really two things in closing, two thoughts. Number one is the testimony of Ezra. Again, using an Old Testament and a New Testament principle this evening, turn over to Ezra chapter number 7 quickly as we close this evening. And I want you to consider, in light of what we've looked at this evening for these two purposes for learning, the application of truth and the dissemination of truth, I want you to think about what the Bible tells us about the testimony of Ezra in Ezra chapter number 7. In verse number 10, notice what the Bible says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord." Could I say this evening that he was desiring to learn the Word of God? Would that be fair? He's seeking the law of the Lord. He's seeking to know the truth of God's Word. The word teach or learn or taught is not there, but I believe that it's understood, as you see that the Bible says that Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. He desired to know the truth of God's Word, but then notice what it says, and to do it. Why did Ezra prepare his heart to seek the law of the Lord? Well, our first purpose this evening, the application of truth, to do it. Ezra wanted to learn it so that he could apply it. Ezra wanted to learn the truth so that he could do the truth, so that he could have the blessing of God in his life. But then notice the rest of the verse of Scripture, and to teach. To teach in Israel statutes and judgments. The dissemination of truth. Ezra says, "I've prepared my heart to seek the law of the Lord for these two purposes. Number one, to do it, and number two, to teach it." Notice the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter number 5. In Matthew chapter number 5, the beginning area of this Sermon on the Mount that we look at, and we looked at the last verse of chapter number 7 by our introduction this evening, and how that he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. But I want you to notice what Jesus Christ says in Matthew 5 near the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount in verse number 19. And I'm going to just jump right in the middle of the verse here and give the truth that we're seeking to convey this evening. Notice in the beginning of verse number 19, it says, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven." That's not part of what we're dealing with this evening. I want you to look after the colon there and after the conjunction, but. Notice what he says, "But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." What are two purposes for learning? The application of truth, to do it, and the dissemination of truth, to teach it. And as we enter into this several month long study of Teach Me, and we adopt the heart cry of the psalmist as our own heart cry, and say, "Lord, teach me. I want to learn. I have a sincere desire to learn the Word of God." And as I begin that journey, as we begin that series, I believe that it's of utmost importance for us to understand and to identify right now what are the purposes, and two of them, to do the application and to teach the dissemination. And as we have those as our focal points, if you will, as these two, and again, it's not an exhaustive list. There are many other purposes that we could give for learning. We look at these two truths this evening, and these would be our motives, if you will, to know Him, absolutely. And as we learn the Word of God, and as we learn the mind of Christ, for the purpose of applying and doing, and the purpose of teaching that others would know. I don't want to be that sponge. A sponge absorbs everything in, but you got to get it out, right? You don't want to become a Dead Sea Christian, where just constantly having an inflow, but never anything leaving. And this evening, I want the Lord to teach me. I hope that each of us would say, "Lord, teach me. And I purpose to do the Word of God, to keep the Word of God. And then, Lord, would you give me opportunities to teach others, that I would be able to share with them, knowing that just as it's profitable for me, it'll be profitable for them. The truth of Ezra 7:10, perhaps a verse of Scripture that we would commit to memory, that Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Oh, that would be our heart cry. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you that you've given us the Word of God. We thank you that the Holy Spirit that indwells us, that sealed us into the day of redemption, yes, is our comforter, but we thank you that he's our teacher. And I pray that you would guide us into all truth, and I pray that as we learn your Word, as we take and echo the heart cry of the psalmist, teach me, that these two purposes for learning would be constantly at the forefront of our minds as we understand that we're being taught so that we would do, and we're being taught so that we might teach. I pray that you'd bless our time of prayer. We thank you for the privilege. We pray that you'd be honored and glorified through the remainder of our service, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Does anyone need a prayer bulletin tonight? You did not get one when you came in. Anyone need